Welcome to the latest edition of WNCW's More to the Story. I'm your host, Paul Foster. I'm going to be interviewing the person behind the Bold and Unfiltered podcast about the people and politics of South Carolina, known as Frogmore Stew. Hello to Grace Cowan.
Thanks, Paul. Love being on your show.
Grace, before I throw several topics your way, tell everybody how they can listen and keep up with Frogmore Stew on a regular basis if they like.
Sure. So we do 3 episodes a week. On Mondays, I typically do an episode that links something current with a little bit of history. And I do a lot of interviews, lots of people running for office or considering running. And then on Wednesday, we do an upstate take with Catherine Harvey. And on Fridays, we do something called Second Helping of Stew. That's a recap of myself and co-host Caitlin Brewer covering everything that we find interesting in the news. Every platform, Spotify, Apple Music, all the big platforms.
All right, let's jump into topic number one. So South Carolina is one of the few states left that doesn't have a hate crimes law in effect. While that may be concerning, is that there's some encouraging news in the state of how some counties are trying to implement this on their own.
There are, and I think it's sort of an interesting topic. Our state legislature has been trying to get a hate crimes bill passed for, I think, almost 40 years. You know, it really came to light during the trial of the Charleston AME shooting. The murder of even a state senator was one of the 9 that was murdered. The argument against it is that there already are tough penalties and that crimes shouldn't be debated over which is worse. But the argument for it is that, you know, it's not valuing a victim any more or less. It's the motivation behind it, that it's to instill fear in a group of people. It's fascinating to me that the state legislature keeps fighting over this. And we are, I think, one of either 2 or 3 states that does not currently have a hate crime bill. So what a lot of local towns and municipalities are doing is creating their own hate crime groups. There was a situation down close to Charleston in Mount Pleasant where there was someone that was putting flyers on cars that were anti-Semitic. And so Mount Pleasant passed a couple of ordinances. And there are several other towns and communities around the state that have passed similar ordinances.
In the case of Mount Pleasant, what are some of the penalties for carrying out a hate crime? Is there anything very severe?
That's the difference, right? Is that a local municipality can't really implement a very severe penalty. The penalties are maybe 30 days in jail, a $500 fine. There's a second penalty in Mount Pleasant that relates to handbills, which makes it illegal to distribute handbills or flyers at private residences, except for newspapers and mail. But again, the actual punishment is pretty minimal.
Here's topic number 2 for you, Grace. Recently, U.S. Representatives Ralph Norman and this week Nancy Mace have thrown their name into the race for South Carolina governor. That field of candidates just continues growing. They're popping up everywhere. How many of them can we take very seriously when it comes to support?
When you say popping up, it makes me think of like popcorn. It's literally a popcorn machine that every couple of days a new kernel pops open. Nancy Mace, she's been throwing out a lot of interesting statements of why South Carolina needs her as governor. I think Ralph Norman throwing his name in the hat, Josh Kimbrell, Alan Wilson, who's the son of Representative Joe Wilson that works with Ralph Norman in the U.S. House, Pamela Yvette, I think we'll probably see some more. I think some of them we can take seriously, but the Republican will win. A state with more Republican voters than Democrat voters, typically in a statewide election. This primary is a big deal. And so, yeah, I think we need to take all of them seriously.
Grace, of these candidates for South Carolina governor, what are some of the things that they're advocating for that you think could draw the attention of potential voters?
I feel like they are trying to out-MAGA each other at this point. I think the Republican Party, because of the way our primary system is set up, is that the most conservative voters are who vote in the Republican primary. And the same is true on the Democrat side. And so the farthest extremes of the party are the primary voters. So it's going to be, I think, a love fest of the current administration. I think it's going to be, the president hasn't gotten involved in that race as far as I know yet, but I feel like that's going to be the golden ticket is who can get the president's endorsement.
Prior to voters going to the poll, a big thing is the campaigning and, of course, the financial support. Money, money, money. Money, though, as we've seen in the past, does not always buy you an election win. But I do know that I read that Ralph Norman, for instance, was considered the wealthiest of all the candidates thus far running for governor.
Yeah, well, he has, I believe, a pretty successful real estate business. I did, when he announced, I did a little bit of digging on him, and he's listed as having a net worth of $66 million, which is considered the 15th highest in Congress. He's a very wealthy man. And as we all saw with Elon, I mean, I guess we should ask him if money can buy an election. He's one for one. He got the president, but he didn't get the judicial election in Wisconsin. So he's batting 50%, batting 500.
I really like how you threw the sport of baseball in there to make that comparison. That was really cool. In our remaining time, I want to give you a chance, Grace, to tease the current or an upcoming edition of Frogmore Stew. What's a hot issue or two that we should check out?
I'll tell you, one of the things that we are hyper focused on all the time, and we will continue into the fall, especially as the elections, the more candidates start popping up, we have a lot of episodes focused on gerrymandering, mostly because even though that term isn't a super sexy term that attracts a lot of listeners, when politicians from either party talk about freedoms and the right to vote, how your vote is counted is your number one freedom. And so gerrymandering keeps all votes from being equal. And the president this week is talking to Texas about redistricting. And there are a lot of moves like that that we as constituents really need to pay attention to. So we'll do a lot of that. And we have a ton of candidates coming on this year. We will be talking. There are so many candidates throughout the state of South Carolina in so many different races, from hyper local all the way up. So we'll be talking to lots of interesting people to hear what they have to say.
There will never be a dull moment
with all your platforms and guests.
Our guest on today's More to the Story, Grace Cowan. She leads the way on the news and political podcast about South Carolina, Frogmore Stew. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Remember that you can go back and listen to a past edition of More to the Story on our website, which is wncw.org. Go to the menu and just click on podcast. I'm Paul Foster.